You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new report by World Vision looking at food prices in 67 countries has found the average cost of basic food items in Aotearoa increased by 56% in 2023 compared to the previous year. This is compared to a 29% decrease in cost in Australia. I spoke to World Vision New Zealand's head of advocacy and justice, Rebecca Armstrong, about these findings. We started off the interview by discussing what basic food items the report looked at.
This research looked at 67 different countries and the cost of food that's used regularly in these countries, which included a kilo of bananas, uncooked rice, wheat flour, raw sugar, corn cobs, tomatoes, one raw chicken, a dozen eggs, a litre of cooking oil and milk. So all ingredients that we use across the globe, and New Zealand in particular had a very strong rise. I think it was 56% on last year, those same items the year before.
What might be causing these rising food prices in Aotearoa in particular?
I think there's a few things going on. The report really looks at the issues of conflict and climate change and the impact that it has on global supply chains. So I think that there's been some international supply chain issues that have affected the price of food in New Zealand, for example. Wheat from Ukraine and rice from India are two particular ones. But there's also the Cyclone Gabriel that really disrupted our supply chain last year, which is a direct impact of climate change. Our supply chains really weren't that resilient to that, and we're still, you know, paying more for kumaras and other goods there. I think probably the global market setting the prices that are in New Zealand has something to do with it. And then there's the issue of what we know is taking place in New Zealand, like the duopoly and the lack of competition that kind of helps to drive those prices down. Yeah, I think those are some of the issues. I mean, even last year, fruit and vegetables were up 22% on the year before, and this was before Cyclone Gabriel took place. So we were already trending quite highly with inflation as it was.
What impact have you seen this have on child poverty here in New Zealand?
Yeah, you will have seen the child poverty indicators come out last week, and there's been a 2.5% increase in material hardship, and then a 1.5% in that like really serious deprivation. And material hardship is actually one of the indicators is whether you can afford fresh fruit and vegetables. And so a greater proportion of households are likely going without these products, which are essential for children to have the nutrition that they need to thrive. We can see, you know, how that is potentially impacting our poverty indicators and having a really strong impact on our children here. But we're also really concerned about the international effect this is having as well, because we're feeling it in New Zealand, but this report really clearly shows that the countries that experience that persistent kind of conflict, climate change vulnerabilities, it can take someone in Burundi, for example, like 25 days to pay for the ingredients that I've listed earlier, whereas it will take 3 hours to earn the money for those ingredients in New Zealand. We also think that New Zealand needs to increase its overseas development assistance, which has been stagnant for 50 years in New Zealand. We committed to produce 0.5% of our gross national income, so we committed to give that much in overseas aid, but we've been tracking at around 0.23% for around 50 years, and it's really important that New Zealand plays its part and responds to overseas issues around hunger, as well as addressing what's happening in New Zealand as well. It's really important that New Zealand prioritises having resilient food systems that can withstand price shocks that can come from climate crises like Cyclone Gabriel. And potentially, you know, we need to be looking into having a food strategy as well, so that when there are disturbances like this to our supply chain, particularly our children aren't affected, because children are always affected from the fallout of food being higher than any other people group.
other than New Zealand, what countries did you find have been most affected by rising food prices?
Basically, it's half of the African countries that are experiencing the highest food prices. They're in East Africa, so Burundi, Sudan, Ethiopia, Uganda. These places have had, you know, five failed rainy seasons in a row, which have put children and families into crisis levels. And then, of course, the heavy rainfall that has caused, you know, that deadly flooding. And then there's been the other half that is most affected is the sub-Saharan African countries, which have experienced, you know, a lot of issues with conflict, and it's in these places that it can really take days and days and days to work to afford these kind of products. We saw in Australia that there was a 29% decrease, and Canada had a 36% decrease in the price of food from 1 year to the next. So I think that's really interesting, particularly Australia, which is, you know, very comparable to New Zealand.
While this is measuring the amount that food prices have increased, the amount of food insecurity is obviously going to be vastly different between countries. So what does this look like when it comes to how many hours someone would have to work to be able to afford these basic food items?
Yeah, so it is those countries in Africa that I talked about where it will take 25, 26, sometimes 30 days to work to earn the money to buy those 10 food items, which is absolutely crazy. And I think it's just important to note that nearly one third of the world's population, or 2.4 billion people, didn't have enough to eat in 2022. And the number of people facing extreme hunger has doubled between 2021 to 2023. So there are now 258 million people living in crisis conditions or experiencing more severe food insecurity. It's pretty drastic conditions across the world at the moment. This particular research report was initiated looking at the impact of COVID-19 and the supply chain shocks that were happening because of that. And so we initiated the first research in, I think it was 2022, and we've followed it every year because we've seen that although there's been some improvement across the world, we're still dealing with the aftermath of you know, that price increase really taking place during the COVID-19 time, and then being exacerbated through further conflict and climate change as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.